The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
And welcome into the Bears Coaches Show here at Halas Hall, the PNC studio. Glad to have you after a big win over the St. Louis Rams yesterday in St. Louis. Welcoming in head coach John Fox. Our show brought to you by McDonald each and every week. We'll be with you here until 7:30 tonight. Heck of a performance in every phase, Big John. Every phase did something well in St. Louis yesterday. Tell us about it, will you?
Well, I think our guys had a great week of preparation and worked very hard. They knew it was going to be a physical contest, you know, against a very, very good defensive football team. And, you know, we really kind of put our best game together, you know, in all three phases.
Certain times, do things surprise you, given that you said it's a very good defense? That's a very good defense. They were very grudgingly giving up points no matter where, especially at home. They didn't give up but two touchdowns all year at home.
Well, they're definitely talented. You know, they're well coached. They kind of prey on the turnovers, and I thought our guys for the most part did a good job. We fumbled the one punt, and then we had a late turnover, you know, kind of in mop up time. But you know, all in all, you know, our guys played physical, and you got to match that physicality when you play the Rams.
It may sound ridiculous to ask this question, but You blow out a team. When you review it, do you pick away harder at a team for the mistakes they made that could have made a, you know, close to a perfect game for you without mistakes and third down conversions that didn't go so great? Or if it's a close game, do you, hey, you guys did a lot of things well right here, and you boost their emotions a little bit when they lose a tight game versus a blowout win against somebody else? Does it change the level of your criticisms or coaching points?
Well, there's no doubt it's a lot more fun to watch the video when you win. You know, I think, you know, as we say around here, you know, the sky's bluer, the grass is greener, you know, it's just better. And so we look at the tape the same way. We're always very critical. Guys take the criticism very well and very positively. I think you learn a lot from doing it. And but it kind of stays the same. It doesn't matter the score. It's just a lot easier to watch when you win.
Do you tell better stories on Mondays after big wins because you're a storyteller? You're bouncing around a little extra?
I've got a couple stories now and then.
Tell us a few, will you? Tell us a few.
You tell me the stories, Jeff.
How'd you think they handled the pressure packages of the Rams? Because you never know when they're going to dial up because they like to do it all times. But, you know, a couple of plays really took them out of that, and certainly the way you got running backs ran, and that really helped, I think.
Well, I think, you know, we challenged them a couple of weeks ago to, you know, work on finishing plays. And, you know, I think when you look at some of the big plays in the game, whether it was a screen pass or the out route to Zach, you know, guys downfield blocking, guys finishing, and that's how you turn short gains into long gains is, you know, guys really hustling to the ball. I thought, you know, our guys responded to it well, and we were able to show them evidence on the video today.
Man, as you spoke it just now, I can visualize seeing Big Matt Slauson roaring out of there on the screen. You know, and for the receivers, sometimes it's not going to be a physical confrontation. It could just be getting in the way. And Marquise Wilson got in the way all the way down the field. Alshon Jeffrey, less than a hondo, he got in the way on the 2-yard catch, and then 87 yards after the catch run by Zach Miller. That's what you're pointing to, right?
No doubt. And that's, you know, that's how it works. You know, this game is, you know, playing smarter, tougher, and longer than your opponent. And, you know, snap to whistle is something that's coachable, and guys see it. And, you know, it was good to be able to point that out on the film.
Tom and I had a pretty healthy conversation right before kickoff on our broadcast because I kept bringing up all these statistics of how stingy the Rams are at home. And he kept shaking his head, and he was getting a little bit fired up about it. He goes, hey, listen, these guys are coached right. And so, hey, they may not have 100% Alshon, they may not have Pernell McPhee, but it's been proven over the course of the season that if you're on that game day roster, you're going to play. And the expectation is you got to fill in at 100% what they are capable of doing. And really, that's what you ask every player. It often doesn't work out that way. But for you guys this year, it has. It has across the board. I want to know why.
Well, I think it's getting the right type of guys. You know, I think, you know, we work hard at it. This is game's not all about talent. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, just skill and being able to execute it under pressure. And it takes the right kind of guys to do that, regardless of the position, side of the ball, or phase of the game.
And as the season wears on, too, are some guys starting to adapt and understand what you're asking of them? And I'm even talking about role players. I think about special teams, and Josh Bellamy's getting down there now almost every time, first man down.
Yeah, I think
that's one small example.
Yeah, I think you need that. And this game is about role playing and what role you have, and then really putting 11 guys together every play and executing their assignment as one.
Did you know Zach Miller could run that fast?
Actually, I did. I think
Pull away from a 4-5 corner.
Well, I think it was pretty nifty. He cheated a little bit looking at the video board. He knew he was coming. So, a lot of times, the sense and feel of where people are is critical in your job performance.
The only time I remember somebody doing that was Devin Hester in the 2006 Super Bowl, and he's looking up and seeing who's coming from behind. He's looking up at the scoreboard down in Miami. So I didn't really see him do that, but he started zigging and zagging, and that little bit made a difference.
No doubt, yeah. It's all about angles.
How happy are you for that guy? Seriously,
really happy.
Knowing his history,
he's been great in the locker room. He's great guy to have on the team. He is a leader, in my opinion. He was, a game captain, for the game at St. Louis. And, he stepped up big the last couple of weeks, and it's good to see, a guy, coming back from, he's had a string of injuries that, are frustrating for anybody.
And to have a two tight end package of guys who both can stretch the seam and go and get the ball. Now, that changes things, doesn't it, now, for a defense?
And they do the dirty things, too. I mean,
yeah,
there's
exactly.
Pass protection, there's blocking. And, I know Martellus a couple weeks ago was questioned on, his targets and all that and, pass catching. And, there's more to the job description than catching passes at the tight end. So the position, you're not able to run the ball without a good blocking element there. Obviously, your offensive line has to do a terrific job. But, your tight ends and blocking backs are very, very important.
Someone asked me about Jeremy Langford. Are you surprised he's made such an impact? And I said, no, they drafted him for a reason. I mean, yeah, he's a fourth-round pick and all, but that doesn't speak to the man's talent. It's just the way it process goes, I mean, it didn't surprise me. Did it surprise you?
Not really. You can find out pretty early on a guy's football character, how they learn, if they're humble about what they're doing, don't think they have all the answers. And, Jeremy's been great. I think Stan Drayton, our running back coach, obviously Adam Gase, our offensive coordinator, they do a good job of teaching, players how to play, and regardless of what the position. And Jeremy was very receptive.
Call me crazy. I think the best thing that happened to him was dropping that pass in terms of the passing game, because it really.
Well, let me remind you, Jeff, it was not the best thing
listen,
for us.
No, listen, I know, but it ticked him off to the point now he's not dropping stuff. That's just going to happen.
If you haven't, you haven't dropped a pass, you haven't played, so, those things are going to happen. Jeremy did a lot of good things that day as well. And, again, it's just, being more consistent, and I think with each game he gets more consistent.
All right, lots more conversation here with John Fox. Maybe we can squeeze a good story out of him as well, because he is the best storyteller that I know. And that's a badge of honor, my friend. If you can be a storyteller, look out. You're going to have people gathering around to hear your conversation.
The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Cutler takes the snap, blitzes on, he's going to screen it left, caught at the 12. Here's Langford, 15-20, Langford, 25-30, Langford away at the 40, a block from Wilson at the 40 of the Rams. Langford angling middle of the field, running away from the Rams, the 10, 5, end zone, touchdown Bears. Jeremy Langford goes 83 yards on a screen.
And breaking clean on that screen, Langford's touchdown pass from Jay Cutler, whose quarterback rating was perfect in the first half thanks to plays like that. Welcome back into the Coach's Show. That's our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity with John Fox. Two quick scores also. Gives you time to exhale a little bit, too. You don't have to work the length, and you got some advantage there. And I think it really put the Rams on their heels right away, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, Jay saw, the pressure they were in. And, you almost get giddy, when you watch it getting ready to develop. And, I think, Jeremy did a good job of sliding out underneath it. And Jay did a great job of getting the ball over top of the free blitzer, and then there was just smooth sailing, great blocking downfield. Our O-line was down there. You know, Marquise Wilson did a great job of playing cat and mouse with the guy to let, you know, Jeremy go the distance.
Yeah, guys must also feel like, well, with a guy like Jeremy, I mean, he's definitely shows, and he showed in the preseason. He can go. He's a threat to go all the way.
Yeah, he's an explosive player. I think, you know, that's a trait that we liked. You know, Ryan Pace and his staff, you know, saw on tape and liked. And, you know, he's done a great job as far as learning our system and progressing every week.
Had a feel to it because of how, and really the last 2 weeks with him and Kadeem Carey, back to your roots in Carolina as a head coach with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, that 1-2 punch, very effective.
Yeah, it keeps guys fresh. You know, people do it on defense with their defensive line as far as a wave of players. You know, it's not so common on the offensive line, but, you know, the running back position, you know, the D-line is something that's, you know, pretty standard now in the National Football League.
You guys continue to own the clock. That was your plan from day one, and happened again yesterday over time. You just continue to win that clock possession battle. If you can explain to our listeners how important and valuable that is to you in terms of the formula for winning.
Well, it's just complementary football. You know, I think, you know, you're trying to keep the third down manageable. To do that, you know, you got to keep third and five or less, you know, predominantly. It's about field position. You know, I think we've made some, you know, ground up in the kicking game, and that really is a field position battle. You know, it didn't start great. I think we let them possess the ball, you know, for about 6 minutes on their opening drive, but we were able to answer back, you know, with a quick touchdown that Zach Miller got. And then from that point, I think we settled in and were able to control the clock.
And analysts always talk about, you know, driving the length of a field is and how many plays you do it in. The more plays, maybe the more chances to make mistakes. But you guys are really getting a lot of mileage out of the 10-play drive. I mean, you're top five in the league in number of possessions that have resulted in 10-play drives, and you're getting a lot of points out of it. What are the pluses and minuses of that from your point of view? Because some people are like, hey, get it in there, move three or four or five plays down the field and score, as opposed to, you know, working that clock and methodically working down the field.
Well, I think, you know, you have to play to your strength as a football team, you know, without going into too much detail. You know, I think, you know, it's always important. It's hard for the other team to score when they don't have the ball. And depending on the matchup and where your strengths are and weaknesses on that particular opponent, you know, I think, you know, like our defense has a lot to do with it, too. You know, we had a bunch of three and outs, I think eight of them.
Four in a row at one point, yeah.
So, you know, it's a team game, and it's important, you know, winning that battle and taking the ball away on defense and then possessing it on offense.
You were asked about quick starts today, and I went back. So 18 first possessions each half, two touchdowns this season. You looking for answers on that regard, right?
Yeah, you're always looking at different things to better your football team. But I think, you know, I'm a believer in keeping the focus small. And, you know, right now we're just coaching our guys to get better every day, and I see improvement.
I love that. How small do you keep that focus? Like super small? Microscopically
like
small?
Way smaller than you do, Jeff.
I know. It's impossible for me. We got to talk about the defense, too, because to me it's an underrated story right now. Not to you, but from my eyes, just how limiting you guys have been in terms of touchdowns. Five times in the last seven games. I brought this up to you last night. Just a single touchdown scored against your defense, and it happened again yesterday. I mean, and you gave up your first rushing touchdown since week two.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, that's back to the complementary football. Yeah, I think, you know, not turning it over on offense is obviously a huge thing when you look at the turnover ratio. I think you know, we've gotten better on third down. We still have room to improve. We've gotten better in the red area, which those are 4-point swings. You know, when an offense is able to you know, on the fumble punt, we were able to hold them to a field goal. That's a big, 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 you know, change there in momentum. So I think, you know, our guys are starting to buy in, and they're working at it hard. I think our staff, Vic Fangio and the defensive staff, are doing a terrific job. And our guys are believing right now.
Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio show brought to you by Sports Authority on a special night this Thursday, 6 p.m., WSCR 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
There they are blitzing. Picked up, throwing left. Cutler hits his receiver at the 15-yard line and breaking free to the 40. Zach Miller to the 50. Miller to the 40. Miller pulling away. Miller's going to go all the way. 10-5 end zone. Touchdown. Zach Miller does it again, but this time on on a second snap for the Bears. He goes 87 yards and looked fast doing it.
Yeah, that was fun to watch Zach Miller waltzing into the end zone, a little Sunday stroll, and that is our play of the game, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears, and Jay Cutler getting that ball to him, and had an overall very strong day for Jay Cutler, and that play, one of the exciting ones, and I think the local media are getting a kick out of talking to Zach Miller, because they've been around him for 2 years. He's been one of the nicest guys around, says hello to everybody. They all feel for his journey. You know, prior to this game, if you add up his, since 2011, to the 58 yards he had going into the game, he had 100 yards from 2011 because of injuries and not able to play. And he surpassed that in the first half. You feel good for that. You just feel. And we touched on it earlier, but a guy who works at it and has not given up said he never thought about giving up one time. And he didn't know. You guys didn't know him. You really had one preseason game to evaluate since 2011. That's it. So when you put that tape on, do you remember? What
no
you
doubt,
saw?
No doubt. You know, I think in this league, you know, it's tough times don't last. Tough people do. And he's a tough dude. He never gave up. You know, he's done a great job with our staff. I think Frank Smith, you know, his position coach, has done an outstanding job with that whole room, the tight end group. And, you know, Zach's just picked it up. He's gotten opportunities, and he's made the most of them.
All right, we're going to tick off some topics here in our remaining 6 minutes with head coach John Fox coming up after the top of the hour in the news. We'll hear from Sam Garns and Darius Swinton, two gentlemen that you've had in your stable of coaches and coming over from the Denver Broncos as well, two good young coaches.
No doubt. You know, it's these things aren't one-man shows. You need a good staff, and we're very blessed to have a great staff here.
All right, let's talk about the return of Shea McClellan, the impact of it.
You know, Shea's, you know, again, a guy that's kind of wiggled through some times, maybe hasn't gone as smooth as he'd liked in his career thus far. But you know, I think he's found a home, an inside linebacker. He's very smart. He's tough. He's a good communicator. He can digest things quickly. And that really just helps your defense. You know, I think, you know, people around him, they feel that confidence. And, you know, he's authoritative as far as making the communications. And there's a lot that goes on, you know, between plays. And, you know, I thought he played very well as helped us a lot in that communication part.
Underrated story yesterday, in my opinion, again, only, but the play of the defensive backs. They broke up 8 passes yesterday. They didn't allow any of the bombs to go off. They defused the bombs. Yeah, and we know what the bombs were, Gurley and Austin.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been big. You know, I think those guys have worked very hard. They're learning a new system. It's never real easy, especially when you're out there on that island. And, you know, I think, you know, really the whole secondary played pretty well, both in the run and pass. You know, we had to contend with Tavon Austin on speed sweeps and fly sweeps and reverses. And I think all in all, it was a pretty good performance.
Is there an impact moment there for this defense that played with a little swagger in that game, frankly, with no Pernell McPhee, the guy that they've looked to now as a leader?
Well, there's just all kind of different plays, you know, but I think early on getting the turnover, you know, Shea, I believe it was also Sam Acho as well, the combination of both of them hitting the back and getting and recovering the football, I think gave us good field position and a chance to take the lead.
All right, now to Denver, where you coached and were very successful. I know you were asked this today, is it any other game, but human emotion being what it is, I know what you're going to say and you're looking at me, but it's big. It's big whenever that happens. It's the NFL schedule geniuses, you know?
Well, you know, I think anytime you play your old team the first time, you know, it's kind of odd. You know, the problem with me is I think I've done it about 20 times.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 8 different team, third as a head coach, you've had a few of them. I think, you know, they're all important, and this is no different. It's a home game, and, you know, it's a big time for us to put 3 in a row.
There's a heck of a lot you accomplished there, though, in Denver.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a great stop. You know, I look back my 9 years in Carolina. That was a great experience. And, you know, I'm very blessed to be here and very excited and looking forward to the challenge.
All right, no Peyton Manning. That's the word from head coach Gary Kubiak. So Brock Osweiler is a guy you drafted. So tell us about him.
You know, he's big. He's actually athletic for his size. He was actually recruited to Gonzaga to play basketball. So he is 6'7". He does have good vision down the field. He's got a strong arm. You know, we're going to have to decipher what exactly they're going to do. I think they'll go back to a little bit more of a Gary Kubiak style of offense. So we'll begin that film study tonight.
Which will mean what for those uninformed?
Well, I think it'll be more play action, more bootlegs, him on the corner. There's a lot of play action in that offense, a little bit more outside zone run game, maybe a little bit more under center, which I think is more fitting to Brock. So, but he's a young, talented guy. I didn't get to see a whole lot of live, but you know, I did feel like he had a bright future.
The weird angle of this game, from my perspective, with a guy who helped construct what is an outstanding defense that can cause you a lot of problems. Now you got to deconstruct it.
Yeah, it won't be easy. They've got some talented guys. You know, I'm familiar with you know, a large part of their roster, more on defense than the offense. But you know, it'll be a big challenge. They've got familiarity with us and. You know, we've got familiarity with them.
But guys you're proud of, too, because you've mentioned them many times, from the Brandon Marshalls to the Chris Harrises on that defense to the Von Miller that you brought in. Those are really impactful players. That two of those guys undrafted.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's all about the football character that I'm talking about and that we're developing.
Those are
here.
Examples.
Exactly. And, you know, getting the right people is critical, you know, in any business, including the National Football League.
All right. Well, good luck. Have a great week.
Thank you, John.
Lots to prepare for. John Fox and our coaches show coming up next. Sam Garns and Darius Swinton after the top of the hour.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring assistant coaches Sam Garns and Darius Swinton. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
6:42 to go in the game. Back to throw. Foles taps the football. Broken up on the near side. Porter again. Fourth quarter, Porter. Another breakup on quick to the near side.
Eight pass breakups by the Bears secondary in the win last night in St. Louis, or yesterday in St. Louis. And the Bears are now 4 out of 6 in the win column. Welcome back into the Bears Coaches Show. Please join us here from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall, brought to you by McDonald's with Sam Garns and Darius Swinton, two gentlemen that have spawned some very good coaching careers with the help of John Fox.
Right.
Tell us about the relationship. Sam's had the longest one because you played for him back with the New York Giants. And I can't, you know, Darius, he was a strong safety. Yep. He is a bad man playing strong safety, right? Because I remember him playing. But you got strong safety, and you got a rookie strong safety, Adrian Amos, now that you're helping tutor in the same philosophy as John Fox. That's kind of unique.
Right. Well,
you tell him a lot.
Well, the thing about it, I was in the same situation. He was a fifth-round pick. Not a lot of people were expecting much from me, and except for the people once I stepped on the field. When you step on the field, those other 10 guys, they expect the world out of you. So I've been in his situation. I know, like, one first thing I told him when he got here was don't limit yourself. You got to go out there and work your butt off every day. And usually when you're a fifth-round pick or you're a free agent, there's a reason why. You got to acknowledge that and then go out there and get things right. And he took coaching well, and he's out there. He's doing the best he can. He's growing.
Oh, he's doing a heck of a job. And that being said, you know, you don't like where you get picked, no matter if you're not a first-round pick, you're not loving it, right?
Nope.
Not cliche. It does put a chip on your shoulder. And today it was verified to me what that really means with this bunch, because Shane McClellan stood up there and said, hey, we all play with a chip on our shoulder.
That's right.
And you want to hear that as a football coach, right, guys?
Yeah,
no doubt. Well, yeah, you know, I've been in that position myself where if you just go out there and it just so happened we playing a guy, Chris Harris, with Denver Broncos, and he's been a guy who's a free agent. He always had everybody, and he felt like everybody's against him because he wasn't drafted at all, and he played with Akeem, and he felt like he measured up to him. And when you're in that position, you want to go out there every day and prove it. The one day you go out there and you decide that you arrive, that's when somebody sneak up from behind you and put you in your place. So when you go out there with Chip on, she'll just put you in a position, put you in the right mind frame to go out there and play aggressively and the best of your ability every time you step on the field.
Darius, does that show up more on special teams too? Because that requires a lot of want to and a lot of swallowing of pride a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, hey, I'm not a starter yet.
Yeah, I think we talked to our guys a few weeks ago, you know, people have looked at what we've done, and you look at the number of guys on our starting kickoff team that have been cut. You bring that to their attention and say, hey, there's people that didn't want you. And now you got a chance to show up and put it on film. And I think you saw it on Sunday when they did bring the kick out. Our guys were excited for them to bring it out. We got them at the 20-yard line. And I think that group of guys with Robbie leading the way, they do. They have a chip on their shoulders. Hey, somebody didn't want us. We have to prove it to somebody. You know, you have a guy like Lamine Barrow where the team we're playing this week didn't want him. And it's flat out. They cut him, so we have him. And I think that's the attitude with not only the special teams guys, but also the whole team, that at some point somebody didn't want you. And now you have to prove it to them every week that why am I in this league and show them
so
why
you
you're playing.
You fan those flames as coaches.
Yes.
Yeah? You must. You know. Use to your advantage. And you the more whatever you could do to get your guys to go out there and play with you know, you got to be careful what you say, but you got to go out there and play with the right desire. Every time you step on the field, you'll do it.
You okay with reckless abandon?
Reckless abandon is a perfect way to explain it.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant coaches Darius Winton, Sam Garns, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Defense staying in again. An ever-present watch right here because this is a desperate situation, and they're going to fake it. Hecker pump fakes. Hecker now going to throw back to the far side. Incomplete. That play was unraveling at every turn. Incomplete. Shane McClellan defending, but he's slow getting up. He might have tweaked that knee or something else. That pass incomplete. Intended for Cody Davis.
Johnny Hecker, who is known for faking punts and throwing passes. And that's the thing about it, Darius, as we welcome you back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Hallis Hall. It was written about. It was discussed often. I know John Fox brought it up in one of the interviews I did with him last week. You know, that's what they like to do. And Johnny Hecker certainly does. He's done it 8 or 9 times. You guys are ready. Kept the defense out of the field a couple of times.
Yeah, it's something we really emphasized last week is that their punt unit is almost like another offensive unit for them. I mean, Coach Fisher's done a good job since he's been to the Titans that every week they have a session of fakes and a thing, and they use Johnny, since he was a high school quarterback, as another quarterback. And you look at his passer rating, it was probably better than Foles maybe career-wise going into that game, even though he hasn't thrown it as much. But it's something the guys focus on. I mean, all week we present them with different looks, possibilities they might do, where's your matchup. And, you know, Jeff did a good job with the plan, putting it in and what we're going to do in there.
Jeff Rogers.
And putting the plan in, I think the guys just executed it. You know, everybody was in the spot they're supposed to be in. We knew every time going out it could be a fake. You didn't know. I mean, minus 23 fourth quarter, you wouldn't think, but our guys were ready for it and they responded well.
For me to even guess it right there was, you know, kind of crazy. That's how much I was ready for it as well. How do you decide when to keep the D on the field?
I think it's a down and distance thing in the team. If you look at them, there's some things that they've shown on film where it's fourth and medium, 5 or less, where that's where they like to do the fake range. And your defensive guys, if they try to do a run, they're prepared for it. They're bigger players if they try to run, you know, up the middle, things like that. So it's just a week-to-week basis, you know, punt return unit. In that situation, we're up. You know, you just want to make sure we get the ball back there. And we felt like, hey, they hadn't done it yet. They hadn't moved the ball. It was about that time. So the last 2 or 3 punt returns there, we put the defense out there. They were ready for it, and they responded.
I was personally shocked. We just talked about it a little bit in the commercial break about they didn't take the ball out on kickoff returns, but what, maybe once?
Yeah, one time, and that was the last one. Yeah, that was the last one. And I think that's a testament to one, our coverage the last few weeks. You know, we put it on film that we're attacking downhill, a lot of speed, guys, you know, avoiding blocks, making tackles. Josh Belling showed up being disruptive. And I think it's Robbie also. He's putting the ball all over the place. It's easier for us when he's kicking touchbacks. And people don't want to bring it out when it's 8 or 9 deep at 4 seconds. So it's combined effort the last few weeks. The guys have really dedicated to that unit and take pride in it. If a guy wants to bring it out, we have to make him pay for doing that.
It's a mindset too, Sam. Your offense, for some reason, it happens, even with the great quarterbacks out there. But if you're starting inside your 20, your defense is getting hungry. They're going to eat, right?
Yeah, defensively, you're thinking turnover time and touchdown. You have opportunities, a short distance to the end zone. And definitely you want to make sure you maintain field position by keeping them inside of 20, not, especially not letting them get outside of 30. If they get the ball 3 downs and they have to punt, we want them to punt inside that 30. So our offense, so our special teams could do a good job having a good return, put them in good position, and get across the 50 in the offense, have a great start.
You guys have carry over here. Coaching, you know, secondary guys are going to be on special teams, right? So you got the mentality of these guys. Do you like what's starting to cobble together now as a unit with, you know, putting Bryce Callahan in there at the nickel? He's done a heck of a job.
Yep.
He's not the biggest cat in the world, but, boy, he's feisty.
One thing our guys know, that if you check our track record, especially being in Denver, and if you go back to Carolina with Foxy, if you can play, you're going to play. And I think that's one thing that set our staff apart from a lot of staffs, is that we're going to give our guys that can play the chance. We're not here to make one mistake, two mistakes. So if you just because you got drafted high, or just because you was a big free agent to come in here and you're supposed to be playing, doesn't mean you have to play. We're going to give our young guys a chance to go out there and perform every day during the week. We'll give them that chance to go out there and help us win games if they show that they can do it. And you know, that carries over to our special teams. And our special team guys, we talk to our special team coaches all the time, and Darius and Jeff, how they get our guys ready. Because usually they start with special teams, and they get their confidence up, and then we bring them over here, and we steal them from those guys, and they do a good job for us. But it starts with those guys over there.
Yeah, I mean, we focused as analysts on how many different players have played offense and defense. We kind of haven't done that with special teams. Yeah. But the number's pretty big.
It is.
Right? This year.
It is.
In 9 games.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? The guys have done a good job of responding to that. Now we've gotten a little bit to the middle of the season, a core group. And I think, like I said, the leadership has come around with guys. You know, you have Chris Brzezinski, you have Leroy Reynolds, you have Sam Acho, Robbie, you have Sherrick McManus, that have now, the mentality is when they come in on Wednesdays, all right, who do we have this week? It's us against them, and at the beginning of the season, it's, okay, who's in our room? Now it's, we got these guys in our room. Who are we going against? And I think, like Sam said, every week we try to get them primed and ready because it starts. Everybody, my coach in high school said, the only starters are the kickoff and kickoff return team. Everybody else is a reserve. And, you know, you can look at it like that if you're a special teams guy. And so that's who starts the game. So I think our guys take pride in it. I think they're having fun now. It's really, they've gotten now where, how do we play our techniques, and now they're just letting it rip.
How much special teams did you play early in your career, and for how long?
I played a lot. You know, as a starter, I was a rookie. I started, and when you are a rookie and you started, you start thinking you arrived, and just because I was starting, I'm not supposed to be on special teams. But when you go out there, you realize how valuable you are every day, especially when you turn the film on Monday. You want to be out there, and you want to be setting the tone, because like Darius said, the special team starts the game, and we get the opportunity to set the tone in the game, whether it's on kickoff and kick or return. And usually if the special team doesn't do what they're supposed to do, guys on defense, offense complain. But guess who's on special teams? Guys on defense and offense. So we need to go out there and handle our business just like a regular special team
guy. Did you put your hand up in the air and continue to do that bulk of your career?
Honestly, when you, as a player, you know, you get incentives and you start getting all these tackles. So you want to go out there, especially on kickoff and punt, and make tackles because that still counts.
So you made a few bucks.
Well, I don't want to say that, but I definitely wanted to go out there and contribute to the special teams play.
And you have the mentality to play special teams. I can tell you that by looking at him right now, Darius.
Definitely.
You get a lot of mileage out of him and his mindset.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Jeff Joniak back here at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. We're brought to you by McDonald's and Boeing. The Bears and the USO of Illinois, proud supporters of our troops at home and away. Help someone you know. Support the USO and go to usoofillinois.org. 7:23 remaining moments here with Sam Garns and Darius Swinton. There's so much to discuss. I want to hit a couple points quick. But first of all, you're part of the crew coming over from the Denver Broncos. Weird to play them this week?
No. I think it's fun. I mean, I think it's fun. I think it's one of those things where there's certain dates you circle, and hey, your former employer, you didn't want me, somebody else did.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure we all agree with Darius, and we just, you know, I think we're improving. That's what we want to do. We want to take another step this week. That's the most important thing.
You don't even something like this to your players. Something doesn't even need to be spoken. They know, right? Because they know.
Yeah, I think our players respect us and respect the way we handle them. And they'll go out there and play for us. We don't need to ask for them to play. We're playing for each other. Every week, we're coaching and playing. We're trying to improve. Of course, we want to beat Denver. And, you know, as an old saying goes, they're the next opponent. So definitely we want to beat them. But, you know, it's an important win. I'm sure Foxy doesn't talk about it, but we all want to win this game.
You know, it's not, to me, it's not a surprise that you both played safety. Mm-hmm. Safeties make good coaches. Tell people why.
Well, I would agree with that because, you know, first of all, I wasn't the fastest guy out there. And when you're not the fastest guy out there, you got to make sure you take the proper angles. You got to get a jump on these guys. You got to play fast, which includes studying, preparing, and knowing where the ball is going to go before it gets there. And knowing what the quarterback's going to do with the ball, where the running back's going, what type of cut he's going to make. So it's important for us to have a understanding of the game, and it carries over into coaching.
Darius, I don't know if you know this or not, but this man was first player, at least in the Giants' perspective, to play for the New York Giants, from the city of New York. You grew up in the Bronx since the 1950s. That's a proud badge to wear, right,
no doubt
for you?
It. No doubt. You know, New York and Chicago is very similar. They both love players that are physical. They want the teams to be physical.
Blue collar.
And I think one of the best things ever for me is, first of all, being inducted to the Bronx Walk of Fame. And secondly is when I walk through the city of New York and New Jersey, because they both share the team, and people tell me they love the way I play. And I know what those towns are made of. I know what type of blood they carry, is the same thing here in Chicago. And we got here, the one thing Fox said is you want to win here. I mean, it's not like winning in many other cities. This is where you want to win.
And Darius has his own fame, too, at his high school recently, right? In Newport News?
Well, the high school's in Chesterfield, which is about an hour and a half away. Yeah, we moved. And, yeah, they decided to recognize me, which I don't know why. We won a few games when I was there. But, you know, the reason why I got into coaching was my head coach in Vic Williams in high school. And he took me under wing when I was a ball boy back in the day. And, you know, I finished playing, and before he died, he told me, he said, you know, you'll make a good coach. And I ended up getting into coaching because of him, so I can credit him for it.
He's a heck of a basketball player, Sam. So I wouldn't take him on the court.
I won't try him.
15 points a game in high school, Big Sam.
To be a good basketball player in that neighborhood is tough because a lot of great players come on.
Allen Iverson and the fellas. Yeah. All right, we got to let you guys go.
All right.
Earlier in our program, John Fox on the solid performance in yesterday's win over the Rams in every phase.
Well, I think our guys had a great week of preparation and worked very hard. They knew it was going to be a physical contest, you know, against a very, very good defensive football team. And, you know, we really kind of put our best game together, you know, in all three phases.
Certain times, do things surprise you, given that you said it's a very good defense? That's a very good defense. They were very grudgingly giving up points no matter where, especially at home. They didn't give up but two touchdowns all year at home.
Well, they're definitely talented. You know, they're well coached. They kind of prey on the turnovers, and I thought our guys for the most part did a good job. We fumbled the one punt, and then we had a late turnover, you know, kind of in mop-up time. But, you know, all in all, you know, our guys played physical, and you got to match that physicality when you play the Rams.
It may sound ridiculous to ask this question, but you blow out a team. When you review it, do you pick away harder at a team for the mistakes they made that could have made a, you know, close to a perfect game for you without mistakes and third down conversions that didn't go so great? Or if it's a close game, do you, hey, you guys did a lot of things well right here, and you boost their emotions a little bit when they lose a tight game versus a blowout win against somebody else? Does it change the level of your criticisms or coaching points?
Well, there's no doubt it's a lot more fun to watch the video when you win. You know, I think, you know, as we say around here, you know, the sky's bluer, the grass is greener, you know, it's just better. And so we look at the tape the same way. We're always very critical. Guys take the criticism very well and very positively. I think you learn a lot from doing it. And But it kind of stays the same. It doesn't matter the score. It's just a lot easier to watch when you win.
Do you tell better stories on Mondays after big wins because you're a storyteller? You're bouncing around a little extra?
I've got a couple stories now and then.
Tell us a few. Will you? Tell us a few.
You tell me the stories, Jeff.
How'd you think they handled the pressure packages of the Rams? Because you never know when they're going to dial up, because they like to do it all times. But, you know, a couple of plays really took them out of that, and certainly the way you got running backs ran, and that really helped, I think.
Well, I think, you know, we challenged them a couple of weeks ago to, you know, work on finishing plays. And, you know, I think when you look at some of the big plays in the game, whether it was a screen pass or the out route to Zach, you know, guys downfield blocking, guys finishing, and that's how you turn short gains into long gains, is, you know, guys really hustling to the ball. And I thought, you know, our guys responded to it well, and we were able to show them evidence on the video today.
Man, as you spoke it just now, I can visualize seeing Big Matt Slauson roaring out of there on the screen. You know, and for the receivers, sometimes it's not going to be a physical conference. It could just be getting in the way. And Marquise Wilson got in the way all the way down the field. Alshon Jeffrey, less than a hondo, he got in the way on the 2-yard catch, and then 87 yards after the catch run by Zach Miller. That's what you're pointing to, right?
No doubt. And that's, you know, that's how it works. You know, this game is, you know, playing smarter, tougher, and longer than your opponent. And, you know, snap to whistle is something that's coachable, and guys see it. And, you know, it was good to be able to point that out on the film.
Tom and I had a pretty healthy conversation right before kickoff on our broadcast, because I kept bringing up all these statistics of how stingy the Rams are at home, and he kept shaking his head, and he was getting a little bit fired up about it. He goes, hey, listen, these guys are coached right. And so, hey, they may not have 100% Alshon, they may not have Pernell McPhee, but it's been proven over the course of the season that if you're on that game day roster, you're going to play. And the expectation is you got to fill in at 100% what they are capable of doing, and really, that's what you ask every player. It often doesn't work out that way, but for you guys this year, it has. It has across the board. I want to know why.
Well, I think it's getting the right type of guys. You know, I think, you know, we work hard at it. This is, game's not all about talent. And, you know, a lot of times it's, just skill and being able to execute it under pressure. And it takes the right kind of guys to do that, regardless of the position, side of the ball, or phase of the game.
All right, John Fox of the Coaches Show. That's going to wrap us up. A couple of quick business items here. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lawrence Creedon. Brought to you by Jimmy John's every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. For Coach Fox, Garnes, and Swinton, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks, as always, to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears Broncos Sunday at noon with no Peyton Manning. Brock Osweiler to start at quarterback for Denver. Pregame at 9. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM. Have a good night, everybody.